Hello, welcome to Ocean Gazing, the podcast where we hold our breath and go underwater to explore the world's oceans. A few weeks ago, I caught up with two of the folks I'm always thanking during the podcast credits, Janice McDonald and Jim Yoder. We met up down south.
Where are we now? We're in Hilton Head, South Carolina, next to a swimming pool. Should I have said that?
We'll be chatting about the connections between marine science and educational outreach. The Sonic Stumper answer will be unveiled as well, so stay tuned. Jim Yoder is the Vice President of Academic Programs at the Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution. He's an ocean scientist, and he believes in educating the public.
We're all funded by taxpayer money. And so it's very helpful to have a population of citizens that that understands the value of scientific research, understands what we're trying to do, and we hope would be supportive of the efforts and understand the benefits to them. I think that's the sort of the big picture story. Also, to engage kids at a young age is important in terms of in our recruitment efforts. And I know I got into ocean science because I read a book in sixth grade that made it sound very interesting and exciting, and I pursued it because of that.
And what was that book you read in the sixth grade?
It was the classic one that everyone read in the sixth grade about the Silent World by Jacques Cousteau, which I bought from my father as a birthday present, and he never read it, but I did.
Janice McDonald is the Science, Engineering, and Technology 4-H agent at Rutgers University. Coincidentally, her interest in ocean science is also related to both Jacques Cousteau and her dad.
My father never graduated high school, but he always encouraged me to be a scientist and always thought that would be a great career for me. We watched Jacques Cousteau religiously on TV together every Sunday, so that was our dream together, to be in this exciting world that Jacques Cousteau seemed to lead every week on his TV show.
I mean, what's interesting is that Jacques Cousteau, I feel, marries exactly these two areas. I mean, he was a scientist and an educator.
Yeah, and it shows the power. If you have people that can speak articulately and demonstrate to the general public and to school children the exciting things that happen in the ocean, what it can do. You know, he had a tremendous impact. Not just on in terms of recruiting people into the field, but of getting people interested in the ocean and feeling that it was an important area of the planet to study.
The important thing to know about Jacques Cousteau, though, is if you ask an average 7-year-old who Jacques Cousteau is today, they don't know who he is.
That's right.
So
that's
we
right.
need a new Jacques Cousteau, and I think we really do want to fill the pipelines with people who want to be scientists. We got to inspire the kids that we work with to be ocean scientists.
Or if not ocean scientists, to at least appreciate the ocean and understand why it's important to know more about it.
One way that McDonald and Yoder are doing this is through COSEE, or the Centers for Ocean Sciences Education Excellence. If you've listened to the credits of this podcast before, you've probably heard me mention COSEE. Product of the Centers for Ocean Sciences Education Excellence. Special. And maybe you've asked yourself,
what exactly is COSEE?
It's really all about trying to get ocean scientists in particular to work with educators, whether they be in informal learning institutions like a science center, or a zoo, or aquarium, or even an educator who's in the classroom on the ground in the K-12 formal environment, getting them to work with scientists in ways in which they can take the science that the scientist is doing and translate it in a way that's usable for public audiences for the overall goal of improving their ocean literacy, which means understanding your impact on the ocean and its impact on you.
And why is this an important mission?
Well, we're in a time where we have a very changing planet, and I think it's more important than ever that people understand and become part of the environment. The fact that the ocean influences our weather and our climate and food production, just about everything you can think of, I think it's really key and important for schools to think about that and integrate that into their content standards. I think it's important for scientists in terms of feeding the pipeline of students who can become future scientists. I think it's important for the general public as they make decisions in their local county government, state, national, at all three levels. It's really important to know something about the ocean that covers our planet.
And COSEE's pursuing its mission in a variety of ways, through this Ocean Gazing podcast, for example.
For Ocean Gazing so far, we've really tapped into, you know, some of the most interesting and cutting-edge scientists that are involved in ocean observing systems. So you've heard from a variety of folks who've been sort of at ground zero of the development of ocean observing systems and having them from their perspective, from their own voice, tell you why they're doing what they do and why ocean observing systems are so interesting and important to them as a new tool in ocean sciences.
So far, I'm very pleased that we've hit all these hit different fields, we've hit different parts of the country, and I think we'll try to, you know, continue with that approach.
And remember those underwater robot gliders that Oscar Schofield and Scott Glenn were talking about a couple podcasts ago? Well, there's one on its way right now from New Jersey to Spain. It's being piloted by Rutgers undergrads. Besides all the ocean sensors it has packed into it, it's got some important cargo.
We've asked kids to write letters to be put inside that glider as it makes its voyage across. And we had over 200 letters submitted from kids around the country, and they've had a lot to say about what it means to them. They love the discovery part of it, or the idea that they can be along for the ride, reading the blogs and being part of that mission vicariously through the web and through the online tools that we've developed for them.
Here are a few of those students reading their letters.
Hello, my name is Janani.
Hello, my name is Mika, and I'm 9 years old.
Hello, my name is Jacqueline Kell, and I am a student here at Durand Elementary.
My name is Samuel Seeger, and I am an 8th grade student at Hampton Academy Junior High School in Hampton, New Hampshire.
Hello, my name is Justine Lopez.
My name is Joey Herr from Oregon. I am an Oregon Ducks fan and a New York Giants fan.
Alex from South Brunswick. I'm from 4th grade and have exclusive knowledge of the manta ray. If you have any questions about coral reefs or manta rays, I can help you.
I don't think your glider will make it because it didn't make it the first time. I know that the ocean is unforgivable.
If you are reading this letter, you are touching a piece of history.
I have got some questions for you.
What is the glider made of?
Will there be more gliders like this one to travel across the ocean?
Does the glider have an engine?
Is the glider prepared for any interactions with sea life?
Why is the glider so small? What is the glider made of?
Will you send a different glider if this one doesn't make it to Europe?
Are there going to be other gliders going around the other oceans too?
Why is the glider named the glider?
How will it be protected from the sharks?
I hope your mission is as successful as Christopher Columbus. Fondly, Nikita.
P.S. Good luck.
And it's not just the kids that are getting excited.
Teachers love it because they don't have a lot of access to scientists, and being able to chat with them online and being able to see that data come across their screen in real time connects them. So it's a way of connecting people intellectually with what's going on in the ocean and not having to worry about physically being out on the boat. I mean, then, so of course, nothing replaces that. Everybody wants to feel the salt spray on their skin and be out there in the real ocean, but this is a way to connect people virtually in a way that has some meaning and some context that they can feel part of the scientific mission. That's what we're hearing from kids and teachers alike.
Now we'd like to hear from you. COSI is about connecting ocean scientists and ocean data to the public, and we want to hear how you feel connected to the ocean. We're gathering stories about your memories of the ocean. We'll be creating something of an audio scrapbook for an upcoming episode. Go to our website, www.cosinow.net, and click on the Ocean Gazing podcast link for the information on how to phone in your stories. Of course, it'll also tell you how to submit a guest for the Sonic Stumper. Remember last week's? I asked Glenn Ewers, a friend of mine and a writer and editor for the Earth Negotiations Bulletin, to fill us in.
It's a song composed by the president of Indonesia, Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono.
It was performed at a UN meeting in Manado, Indonesia, called the World Ocean Conference.
World Oceans Conference is a number of meetings relating to certain issues relating to the marine environment and climate change.
Ewers attended the conference and heard the song performed live.
And then we all stood for the president to enter. From there, he listened to the music that he'd composed himself, sung by the wonderful Indonesian choir.
And those concluding lyrics?
We want to save our planet. We are all united for a better life, for a better world, for you and me.
And here's our new Sonic Stumper. Thanks for listening. Go to our website, www.cosinow.net. to hear Janice McDonnell and Jim Yoder talk about ocean literacy and ocean observing systems. On to the thank yous.
I thank Janice McDonnell.
And I thank Jim Yoder.
I'll thank Saj Lichtenwalner and Sam Brown. Ocean Gazing is funded by the National Science Foundation, and it's a product of the Centers for Ocean Sciences Education Excellence. Now you should know what that is. Until next time.